KALW.
From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Richmond, California.
San Jose.
Union City.
Eastside. Jackson.
I'm from the Campbell area.
Hayward.
Coming up, we hear how a gay Syrian refugee made his way to the Bay Area.
If you're not safe outside and you're not safe inside, you better run. Nobody's gonna save you.
Then a new film shares his story and other LGBTQ refugees struggling to make new homes in San Francisco.
Next month I will be moving again to another place. So it's like you are just in process of moving from place to place. It's like you are still migrating, you are still traveling.
Unsettled at the San Francisco Film Festival today on Cross Currents. The San Francisco International Film Festival is in full swing, featuring films inspired by the spirit and values of the Bay Area. One documentary showing this week is called Unsettled, Seeking Refuge in America. It introduces us to four young LGBTQ refugees who've come to San Francisco from the Congo, Angola, and Syria. The Syrian man in that film, Subhi Nahas, was taken in by a couple in Oakland when he first arrived. KLW's Eli Wertschafter first brought us his story in 2016. Here's Eli.
Subhi Nahas remembers the exact day when he knew he'd have to leave Syria. It was the spring of 2012. He was 24, on a bus going to university to take a final exam, the last exam he needed to graduate. He says they came up to a checkpoint and a group of soldiers stopped the bus. They checked the IDs of all the young men, and then they singled out Subhi.
They take you to our room and put you in a chair where you're all alone.
These were Syrian government soldiers. They were cracking down on rebels who opposed the president, Bashar al-Assad.
The chairs and the table and the ground, they're full of blood.
Subhi had nothing to do with the civil war, but these soldiers decided to pick on him anyway. They'd noticed that he looked different, kind of effeminate. They started mocking him.
They were picking up on me especially because of, you know, look at the way he walks, look at his, you know, dress, look at his hair.
He said for 30 minutes they harassed him and called him homophobic names. He was scared for his life.
And that moment I was like feeling that, yeah, that's the end of it.
It wasn't. They let him go without hurting him. But after that, Subhi was too afraid to go back to school.
When I came back home, I was saying to myself, so what's the point of staying in Syria while you cannot complete your studies? And without this, like, you cannot do anything.
The soldiers who messed with Subhi were from the Assad regime. But a few months later, rebels who opposed Assad took root in Subi's city. They belong to al-Nusra Front, which is the Syrian branch of al-Qaeda. For Subhi, they were even worse than the regime. They announced that they would, quote, cleanse the city of sodomites.
So I cannot go to university, I cannot go out, so I have to stay home all the time. But then, staying at home was not safe too.
Like a lot of LGBT people who become refugees, Subhi felt threatened by his own family. His parents never accepted the idea of a gay son. Subhi lived at home with them, but his father didn't speak to him.
We sometimes we don't even say good morning to each other, so even when we speak, he never expressed his emotions or feelings and how he does feel about it, except when he's really angry and he wants to express how angry he is.
One day they were in the kitchen. They had a fight and his father lost his temper.
He grabbed my head from the back and he just smashed it into the kitchen counter.
Subhi still has a scar on his chin.
If you're not safe outside and you're not safe inside, and your family will not protect you from your father because your father has anger management issues, so you better run. Nobody's going to save you.
He immediately made plans to cross the border into Lebanon, where he had a friend he could stay with. This journey was legal, but he had heard horrible stories about gay people who were raped as they tried to get across. So he bribed a taxi driver to deal with all the checkpoints. Subhi sat in the back of the cab and pretended he couldn't talk. He stayed in Lebanon for 6 months. And then he moved to Turkey, where it was a little easier to be gay.
It was a different, completely different experience, especially exploring myself, exploring my sexuality, trying to understand my body more.
But still, he knew he couldn't stay there. Turkey doesn't let any Syrian refugees become citizens. And so he had two options. He could travel to a country like Germany and hope they gave him asylum, or he could apply to the UN, which can resettle refugees to another country. In Turkey, he met a lawyer from a group called ORAM, the Organization for Refuge and Migration. They're based in San Francisco, and they advocate for LGBT refugees around the world. They explained to Subi how the UN program works.
ORAM helped me to understand these interviews and helped me to understand the procedures and what they do and how long it takes.
The UN only resettles people who are part of a persecuted group. One of those groups is LGBT people. But there are 4.5 million Syrian refugees, and less than 1% of them make it through the UN's process.
I never knew that my case would be like really accepted.
The process took almost a year. Subi did interview after interview, screening after screening, until one day he found out that he was cleared. Subi flew to California on June 4th, 2015. He even knew who he was going to live with. An older gay couple in Oakland had agreed to be his sponsors, to host him in their home.
Yeah. Well, that is good. Yeah. Very good idea.
Subi is back in the house of his sponsor, Fred Hertz. He lived here for his first 2 months. Subi's slicing off the crown of a dark red pomegranate.
Oh, that's really good. You don't cut it all the way through.
No, because it's easy. See?
Right. When he lived here, he and Fred got really into cooking together. The pomegranate is going on a roasted eggplant dish, which Subi calls mlatash.
Say it again. Mlatash. Mlatash. M-L.
Fred got involved with LGBT refugee rights 5 years ago.
Here I am, this successful gay lawyer who is, you know, living a very liberated life with a long-term partner. And when someone comes forward and says, there are these gay people who are in trouble in other countries, you know, how can I say no?
But taking a refugee into his own home, that was another level.
I would say my biggest worries were things like, oh my God, what if he gets here and has a nervous breakdown and like locks himself in the room and doesn't come out for 6 months? What am I going to do?
But they got along like family. Subi felt the same way.
They even became vegetarian for a whole month. It was like, I'm vegetarian, so it's like they did not bring meat to the house. That was something I really, really appreciate.
Subi showed me his old room in Fred's house.
And yeah, I used to store stuff in that box. Lots of stuff, especially paperwork, because, you know, in the States, they send everything, like, lots of paper.
His visa, medical exam paperwork, bank documents, his vaccination card. He spent most of his first month here getting all his papers in order.
It's time-consuming, and I think without Fred and his partner, I would have not done it in 1 month, and that I would still, until now, stuck doing all the paperwork.
This was actually part of Fred's commitment as a sponsor. He had a list of all the appointments Subi needed to get to. And when Fred wasn't available, he got his friends to help too. Especially for LGBT refugees, creating that kind of community is essential.
Let's say if you're not an LGBT, you'll be expected to be resettled with your own community. But if you're an LGBT, most of the time you're escaping from your own community, or you're escaping from your family, or you have nobody. So you need somebody to be with you, and you need somebody to help you in the first steps.
Subi has had an amazingly smooth transition into the United States. Some help came from the government. When they first arrive, refugees get a small stipend and they can apply for food stamps and healthcare. And like almost everybody in the refugee program, Subi's on track to eventually get a green card and U.S. citizenship. But what sets his case apart is the bond he made with Fred and the local gay community. Now, Subi is working at ORAM, the same organization he reached out to when he was in Turkey. Subi knows how rare his case is, so he's working to help other refugees make it to the other side. Subi shows me a poster that he designed with ORAM. It says the words, "You are safe here," in a dozen languages, in rainbow colors. They're sending it to refugee offices around the world.
you step into the office and you look to the wall and you see this and you see the rainbow, then you will know that you're safe here, even if you're an LGBT.
Subi has lots of friends who are visiting offices like these in Turkey and Lebanon, waiting for resettlement. But recently, one of Subi's friends also made it through. His name is Nader Türkmani. Subi called him up on Skype after he heard the news. Nader is also gay and Syrian. He petitioned the UN for years. Now he'll be able to move from Turkey to Norway.
Hi. Hi.
Subi and Nader started an LGBT support group in Istanbul. Since Subi moved, he's been helping Nader manage the group long distance. Now they're making plans for when Nader will leave too.
Hopefully our group will be there for a long time.
Groups like the one Subi started, or people like Fred and his partner, they give LGBT refugees something they're usually missing, a family that looks out for them.
It's a good feeling when you really know that somebody cares and loves you this much. It's life-changing.
In San Francisco for Cross Currents, I'm Eli Werchafter.
Thanks, Eli. Since we first aired that story, Subhi founded a nonprofit called Spectra. It supports LGBTQ people in North Africa and the Middle East. He no longer works for Aram. You're listening to Cross Currents from KELW News. I'm Henna Baba. We just heard a story about Subhi Nahas, one of the four LGBTQ refugees featured in the film Unsettled, seeking refuge in America. The documentary follows their journeys as they make San Francisco their new home. It's playing at the San Francisco International Film Festival this week. Producer Jen Gilliman joined me in studio to talk about making the film. How did you seek out the specific people you would feature in this film?
They just had really unique and interesting stories. So we have lesbian asylum-seeking couple from Angola, Cheyenne Marie, and then we have Junior. He's a gender nonconforming gay man from the Congo.
And then you have Subhi.
Yeah, Subhi, who is Subhi Nahas. He is a gay man from Syria, and he has been a real champion for LGBT rights.
What was the discrimination like back home for the subjects?
They felt a just general rejection from their families. You know, it was sort of this unspoken thing as they were growing up and as they were coming into their own identities. And in some cases, that turned violent, either physical violence or suspected poisoning that one of our subjects thinks that their mother did to them. And, you know, they became pretty paranoid and traumatized to have anyone around them know that they were LGBT.
So let's hear a clip. This is a scene with Mari and Cheyenne.
And he was like, I have this beautiful girl you have to meet. You will love her. She's your size. She's like perfect for you. And I was like,
So I was coming down the street and she was standing there. And then she turned around and
ta-da!
Yeah, it was really like ta-da!
How do you think their experience was different because they came as a couple?
Cheyenne and Marie in particular, I'm so just in awe of their bravery and their stick-to-itiveness. And, you asked about what was it about their story and them coming together as a couple that was kind of unique or different. Why do we want to document that? And, you know, it really shows like how much people need that support. And when they had that, they're able to be so much stronger. You know, they're all resilient, but like, you know, just emotionally and the toll that everything they've been through, it takes on them. It was really important to them that they had each other. And Yeah, it's just special. You know, it's a love story as well.
Someone who was not a couple, someone who was alone, is Junior. Let's meet Junior. Let's hear a clip.
Betty. So this is my husband, Jack. Hi. And you have my name, Betsy.
Yeah.
I should come up and rearrange the space. Oh.
Next month, I will be moving again to another place. So it's like you are just in process of moving from place to place. It's like you are still migrating. You are still traveling.
Tell us more about Junior and what he goes through as he tries to find housing.
The refugee benefits that people get when they come as refugees are about $350 a month, which may be almost enough to cover groceries, but you know, rents here are just sky high and, you know, the public housing spots are extremely limited, even shelters, et cetera, which eventually he had to turn to when he became homeless.
And at some point, it's like it felt like he did not expect America to be like this.
I think that probably people see a lot of what's in Hollywood, in Hollywood movies, et cetera. And
there's an image.
Assume that, I guess, coming as a refugee, they may hear that they're going to get some benefits, but, you know, the reality of that and how far those dollars go, it's not what people need to survive. And he really was the one of our four subjects that was just displaced over and over and over again.
All right. So somebody else you follow is Supay from Syria.
Supay is very special.
Chairman Johnson, ranking members of the committee, thank you for offering me the honor and the opportunity to be here today to share my story.
Hi, Supay. This is Mandali Del Barco with NPR News.
You know, coming from a place where I cannot talk about it at all to a place where I'm sharing it with the world, it opened whole, like, other doors.
Give it up here, Grand Marshal Supay Nehas. We love you, hi. Happy birthday.
So thank you for this tremendous honor.
He's special because he's really trying to do something about this issue. He sometimes at great cost to himself because it's a lot of work. He started a nonprofit called the Spectre Project. And so he's doing outreach, reaching back to, you know, organizers and folks in Turkey. He's got a board that's working with him to try to raise funds here to support refugees who are stuck in transit in Turkey like he was. And a lot of folks in the Middle East look to him as the poster child of refugees for not only getting himself here, starting this nonprofit, doing a lot of public speaking, you know, winning awards, all of this stuff. He's been so vocal and so out. And I think, you know, sometimes
and he finds love,
yes,
right, in the film.
Yes.
Not to give everything away, but...
Yeah, multiple times, let's say.
Okay.
A lot of people assume that people are here, oh, they've won the golden ticket, they're in the U.S., they're going to be fine, right? But it's not the case. I mean, especially right. In a city like San Francisco, they face so many challenges.
What's something that really struck you in the process of making this film?
I think back to when I was their age, even like, you know, it was a big deal for me to like go travel around the world and see other places. But if someone had told me, okay, you're queer now, you're not welcome here in my hometown or whatever it is, and I had to like up and move across the world to some place I'd never been before and never seen on my own or, you know, with my partner at the time, I can't imagine, you know, it's so unbelievable. And to do so with basically nothing and no resources, no network. One of the things that the refugee kind of resettlement programs in the U.S. are based on is people traveling and arriving and resettling with their families and finding community there. So, you know, there's a lot of places in the country where there's sort of pockets of refugees who have resettled from a particular country and they've got their own kind of community going on and they have those arms to be welcomed into when they first arrive. And these folks are just, they're so alone. That bravery is something that I'm still in awe of and I'll think of that whenever I have a challenge in front of me, for sure.
Is there anything else you'd like to add? Anything else you'd like people to know about the film?
The Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights is one of our kind of outreach partners, and they have a big need for pro bono attorneys to help with people's asylum claims. Mm. So that's always a need. Folks come here, they don't have an attorney, they can't possibly pay for one themselves. And the only way they're going to get that assistance that they really need to file their claims is by having a pro bono attorney. And LCCR is one of the few organizations that actually does that matching for people. And so lawyers, if any lawyers hear this, and it can be, you can be any type of lawyer. You don't have to have immigration experience, but you can sign up to be a volunteer attorney for someone who you might essentially save their life.
Jen Gilliman is co-producer of the film Unsettled, Seeking Refuge in America. It's showing as part of the San Francisco International Film Festival this Wednesday and Thursday on both sides of the bay. Find out where you can check it out at kalw.org. And while you're on the website, make sure you're subscribed to our newsletter to get cross-current stories, interviews, and more in your inbox every week. Tune into Cross Currents tomorrow at 5. We meet the people who try to get your attention when you're on your way to a Warriors game.
I'm the horn player up here on the bridge that you hear bouncing and pumping. And, you know, I'm your hype man when you leave. Juice up your stuff, whether you win or lose.
Our new podcast, Bounce, the Warriors' last season in Oakland, tomorrow at 5. This music is by the Heartlights from Oakland. They're performing at the Elbow Room in Jack London Square tomorrow night. Today's Cross Currents team includes Janae Darden, Joanne DeLuna, Lisa Morehouse, True Gwynn, Marisa Ortega-Welch, Eli Wirtschafter, and Aliyah Renee Yates. Our engineers are James Rollins, Tariq Foda, and Gabe Graben. Content manager is Shirin Adil. Our managing editor is David Boyer. Deputy news director is Angela Johnston. News director is Ben Trefney. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. And we've got a little more time, so we're going to leave you with another edition of KALW's My Mixtape. Have a great night. I'm Hannah Baba.
This is KALW's My Mixtape.
Happy New Year. Yeah, yeah.
My Mixtape.
My Mixtape.
My Mixtape is...
one song.
I got a song.
I'm Charles Purdy. I live in San Francisco, and my song is Troy by Sinead O'Connor. She sings about being cast away and wounded, but coming up fighting. And as a picked-on gay kid in the sticks, I really responded to her underdog ferocity. Troy is like a 6-minute rock opera to me. It's about regret and wrath and triumph. It's about rising like a phoenix. But I will rise. It's still so thrilling to me. And I will return.